Today on Noteworthy Networks, we have Corey Parks. To share just a snippet from his bio, you should know that Corey is the Vice President of Economic Development for the Conway Area Chamber of Commerce and Conway Development Corporation. He works with employers and site selection consultants to create area jobs, provide statistical analysis of the regional economy, oversees talent and workforce development initiatives, and assists with the Chamber's government affairs agenda. He, of course, is an alumnus from the University of Central Arkansas, having earned his Bachelor of Business Administration in Insurance and Risk Management in 2016, and his Master of Business Administration in 2018. Corey is certified professional, community, and economic developer, designated by the Community Development Council, and is a graduate of the Community Development Institute and the University of Oklahoma Economic Development Institute. So with that said, welcome, Corey, and thank you so much for agreeing to come on today.
I'm excited to be with you.
I'm excited to learn more about your business background and then how you ended up working now within the Conway Area Chamber of Commerce. So with that said, my first question is, how did you begin your career right out of school?
So right out of school is a little hairy, but I'll try to make it as direct as possible. So when I was finishing my degree, I was working for a construction company in a full-time capacity, and then that tapered off towards the end of the project, and then I started interning in the outreach division on campus as a part of the Center for Community and Economic Development. And so I was doing that in construction, and then towards the end of my job with the construction company, and then tail end of my internship, there was a few staff changes in the division of outreach. And so there was a opportunity for me, as I was wrapping up my degree, to interview for a full-time role. And I interviewed and was accepted in that. And so I started working in the Center for Community and Economic Development at UCA.
Okay. So then how did you shift then and become interested in working for the Conway Area Chamber of Commerce?
So the work that I do now is very similar to what I was doing before when I was at UCA. The only exception is when we were at UCA, we were working with communities with a population of 10,000 or less, doing mostly strategic planning. And then also a part of our team was the Community Development Institute. And so we were training leaders from elected officials to community and economic developers or utility partners to be more knowledgeable about the industry of community and economic development. And so through that, I'd had some interactions with our chamber. And then there was an opening after some changes at the chamber. And so they reached out to my boss and expressed interest. And then I had water or coffee as a non-coffee drinker. I'll say that I go to coffee meetings, but I have a water or smoothie. And so one thing led to another, and an offer was extended and it was accepted. And so that brought me to the chamber.
Okay. Awesome. How do most people get into working for the Chamber of Commerce? And then I guess specifically working within your area of economic development?
I think it will just depend. So unfortunately, it's not a career that people are very familiar with. Like, you might know what a Chamber of Commerce is, but no one, it's not like wanting to be a teacher or a firefighter mm-hmm. or a policeman, like, or a lawyer or a doctor. Like, most people don't grow up aspiring to be a community or economic developer. And when they hear that, they're like, what does that even mean? And so it really just depends. Now, I will say, fortunately for UCA students, there's an internship program or fellowship, I should say, that we started within my former team just before I left. And so there's an opportunity for UCA students to be exposed to that. But by and large, it's just kind of you fall into it. So for me, for instance, I was always interested in construction and development. And at some point, I wanted to work for a chamber. And it was probably my freshman or sophomore year where I'd actually interviewed for an internship with our local chamber here. But then there were a few opportunities that I was looking at. And so I ended up going a different direction. But hopefully we're getting to a point to where more people are aware of the opportunities that are afforded through working for a chamber of commerce or an economic development organization or something else related in the industry. And so by and large, I would say most of the professionals just kind of fall into it. But I think we're seeing a shift where more younger folks are being introduced either directly or indirectly to what the work is that we do. And so they're like, oh, wait, that's something that I could pursue. And so hopefully those efforts will pay off long term where people know that this is a career path that they can pursue.
Yeah. So with some of the like introductory, like what are some common entry level jobs that exist within the chamber?
It really depends on the community that you're in, because a lot of times people associate Chamber of Commerce with events. And so that's a great entry level for people who are in any community. But for our chamber, it's a little unique where we have multiple organizations housed within the same facility. And so we do take a little bit different approach than what some other folks are able to do, because we have 16 to 18 people on staff at any given time. Whereas in most chambers across the state that aren't in the major populous areas, you'll have maybe one to two. And then in even some of the more smaller communities, you might have a part-time person or an individual. And so events is a great way to get into it. But in those smaller organizations, you kind of have to be a jack of all trades, and then you have to prioritize. But I've seen some folks that are younger in the industry who either through events or sales, so selling memberships, that's another way that people can get a head start into what I would hope is a lifelong career for them in this industry. So either events or selling memberships are probably two entry-level positions for people. And then outside of a chamber or an economic development organization, you also see people who have more of an analytical background that will work for either site selection consulting firms or utility providers to do kind of market research and help either research communities for potential fit, or help determine what makes the most sense from a utility investment, depending on the community that you're in.
Cool. Very cool. So would you say that like they start out more as like volunteers, or are they have already built up their like event background or their like sales background and then come to the chamber?
I would say that there's some opportunities to intern. And so sometimes those are paid, sometimes those are unpaid. And so that's a good way to kind of get your foot in the door. But typically you'll have people who maybe are a couple years out from a career that could be related or not, and have a good network of people. And so then they're able to make that transition. There's not really a career pathway for the work that we do, because it's just you can be in a completely unrelated industry, but yet have a good skill set of being able to build relationships with people, because that's what our business is about, is being able to communicate and have good relationships with people. And then depending on what specifically you're wanting to do, those other skill sets can vary, but by and large, being knowledgeable about the place that you're in and able to have conversations with people you don't even know are both translatable regardless of the industry you're in, but especially in ours, you have to be able to do that.
Yeah. So going off of that, what kind of education, training, or background does being a VP of economic development require?
A lot of professional development. Someone who has an insurance background, I was fully prepared knowing that if that was the career path that I took, that I was going to do a lot of continuing education, and the same can be said for a number of other industries. But there's very much a understanding that you have to continuously learn about what other people are doing. So R&D, as we like to say, in the building, which is rob and duplicate, and right size for your community. So you have to have a network of people that you're learning from, and that you're able to call on for to figure out what, if they're having a similar issue, how you can mitigate that in your community based on your specific scenario. But then just knowing that you're going to have an opportunity to pursue certifications and continuing education that is going to keep you as sharp as you can be related to the industry.
Yeah. And then with that said, then how relevant is your undergraduate major to the work that you do now?
So fortunately, the UCA College of Business is a great job at giving a foundation. So although I'm an insurance major, the number of classes that were I had to take from a foundational perspective really put me in a good position. And then especially my graduate school study, I'm a self-proclaimed nerd, and I will voluntarily spend as much time as possible in Excel. But the data analysis coursework and the accounting and some, just a number of courses that I learned, business statistics, a lot of that just comes to play every single day. And it's not even where I sit down and think about it every day. It's like, oh, this is because of this course that I'm able to do this. It's just the compounding effect of having the general business understanding, but then also having some of that technical capability is puts me in a position that I can be successful in my day-to-day job.
Yeah. And then going off of being successful, you're kind of like setting me up for my next questions. What kind of accomplishments tend to be valued and rewarded as being a VP of Economic Development?
Yeah, I would say in general, there's this great day that everyone wants to see and expect whenever you are responding to a request for information that requires all the information about the community and region you can possibly give. And then a site selection firm eliminates all the others and decides that you are the best possible location for their client, or the company has done this on their own. But then you get to celebrate with a groundbreaking or a ribbon cutting of some sort. And so that's what success in from the outsider looking in would think would be success. But I would say just knowing that your community is in the best position possible to compete, and that the people that either currently live or will live in your community have the opportunity to enjoy better and more job opportunities is what I would define success as. And just knowing that you have a community that you can be proud of. So there's a few different ways you can measure it. But it's more than just the celebratory, we're bringing jobs here plastered on the front page of the newspaper. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of work that's done by us and our extended economic development team through the city of Conway and Conway Corporation and CenterPoint and our other folks that we consider a part of our extended team that goes unnoticed, because you may get 1 in 10 projects that select, and that's probably not even realistic, that select your community, because there's a lot of communities vying for the same projects. So success has to be measured differently based on what you're looking at.
Can you give an example of like what type of projects you're mentioning, like what those projects look like?
Yeah, definitely. So it depends. And I guess I should maybe explain what economic development is. But it's the process of, and this is how I would give it to people to where their eyes don't gloss over. But I would define it as economic development as creating better and more job opportunities in your community. And at the foundation, that means ensuring that you have the best quality of life possible, to where if a business locates in your community or expands in your community and they're trying to attract talent, they're able to retain that here. And so that's what the process looks like and what you're trying to do. And then from a project specific basis, you're going to try to either, so 2 years ago, and COVID makes timing hard, but like we had three announcements with DXC Technology where they are adding 1,200 jobs. We had StructureLam, who's building the headquarters in Northwest Arkansas for Walmart. And then we had an existing company, SFI, who does steel fabrication, who announced an expansion. So we had a combination of two existing companies that were adding more jobs here and expanding, and then one who announced that they were going to relocate and put their locate here and put their U.S. headquarters in Conway. And so those are examples of projects. And then we have a few that we're working right now that hopefully we'll get to that same point, and we're nearing the final stages of those, but it's nothing is finished until it's signed, sold, and delivered. And so does that answer your question, hopefully, and kind of give you a look into what economic development is and what the projects are?
Yeah. So with those companies and those corporations that you work with, would you say it's mainly the commerce, like, or the Chamber of Commerce reaching out to them, or do they come to you, or do you have like those existing companies that you've kind of already built up, and then you're constantly like working with them and seeing about like what other like job opportunities you could bring to Conway?
Yeah, it's a combination of the two. So sometimes either because we have an available building, or we have an existing relationship with the site selection consultant who's like, hey, I think this would be a good fit for you. Or we fortunately in Conway have a great relationship with the state as far as the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. And so the project managers are very good at working with us to say, hey, look, I had a conversation with one of them, the senior project manager, yesterday, where she was going to submit a building on our behalf for just a preliminary look at Arkansas. And so it really just depends. It kind of comes from every which way, but I would say by and large, the way that we receive projects is either through a consultant, site selection consultant directly, or through the Arkansas Economic Development Commission disseminating the request for proposals or information, if you will, to the communities that they know are either have the population base or have the available building or have some other factor that is pertinent to that prospect.
Yeah. So are those site selection consultants, are they a part of those different companies, or are they completely separate from those companies? And they kind of,
It depends on the size of the company, but traditionally a company is going to hire a third party to help them eliminate communities and make the best decision possible for them. Because you get down to a point to where, like when you, and I won't try to get on a soapbox too much, but people think that incentives often are what make a company choose a community. And that's absolutely false. It's a factor, but when you get down to say the two or three communities, because you may start with 10 states and then you get down to four states and then you get down to two states, and there might be multiple communities within each of those states, and then you visit, because so all of that, you might start just doing two or three rounds of asking very detailed questions. They get more and more detailed as you go on, but then towards the end you actually go and put the consultants only, or sometimes consultants and the company representatives will have boots on the ground. They'll meet with the teams and they'll try to figure out, okay, well, where do we see ourselves fitting in? We have this, all the information we possibly could about from a 5,000 foot view of what this community is supposed to be like. But once we get there, or is this somewhere we can see our employees living long term, and are we going to be able to attract talent here or not? And so you'll get down to maybe the top three sites, and then from there you'll say, okay, well, all things being equal, we could go to any of these communities and have success, but where's that best fit? And so traditionally it's going to be a third party that's helping make that decision, but we've had situations where the company is leading that completely by themselves, or only with minimal input from a third party. So it really just depends, but for the most part, they're going to hire a third party just because it makes it easier to, because they're, that's most of the time you have like businesses aren't, unless you're talking about Amazon or Walmart or some of these larger corporations that have a real estate arm, or sometimes even an economic development arm, that's not going to be something that is in their wheelhouse. And so it's most beneficial for them to hire a third party to help them make that decision, because that's what they do all the time, versus, okay, well, you're an attorney. We've got our attorney team. We got our accounting team. We got our finance team. We got our HR team, and y'all make this decision. Now those folks are integral to that process. But that's very different when you're helping a third party versus, okay, this decision is solely on y'all. Because that's a tough decision to make, and one that you have to make very strategically and for the long term.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the inside scoop. I know personally, me, like, I don't even sit there and think about like all that goes into like businesses deciding to like start and come to certain areas. So it's definitely interesting to hear a little bit of that. And I know that too, it's probably different for, say, you know, a small business person wanting to start a small business versus, you know, a larger like corporation.
Yeah.
Do you guys do some like work with small businesses too, or what does that look like?
Definitely. So my day to day doesn't involve working with small businesses as much, mm-hmm. Just because that's not where we're best situated to assist. Now, that's not to say that I don't have conversations with folks that either have a local business or have a regional business, because mm-hmm. we're going to provide information as we can. But like, for instance, as I talked about earlier about our extended economic development team, I would say that the Arkansas Conductor is an extended member of our economic development team, because they're better situated to help entrepreneurs. And so small, it depends on how you define small business. And so there's some that we work hand in hand with that they might have 50 employees, mm-hmm. and so we're working with them, but that's very different than a business that is going to have two or three employees. And so if it's going to be downtown, we're hand in hand walking them through real estate, talking through what their potential restaurant or a retail location could look like. And so that's another arm of our building that we do help in that area. But if we're talking purely entrepreneurs, like they need a expert in that field to help them vet their idea, connect them with the right people. And so that's where we lean on our partners like the Arkansas Conductor to help facilitate that.
Yeah. Okay, so you've spoken a little bit about like being able to network and work with people well. What kind of skills, abilities, and personal attributes are essential to success in your career or career field? What would you say those are?
Separate than what I've already said?
So if you have any other like skills, abilities, personal attributes that you think go along with that.
So in my field, I would say definitely the ability to kind of be willing to go with the flow and pivot at any fork in the road that might require it, because there's just, when you're dealing with real estate and utilities and workforce and floodways and streets and all of these things that come together that require, and it doesn't matter if it's an expansion or relocation, there's just a lot of moving parts, and with anything there's a lot that's out of your control, and so you have to be able to think on the fly and pivot to make sure that you can still figure out a way forward, even if it wasn't what you originally thought, or it could be plan A, B, C, or D have all at some point fallen by the wayside. And so now you've got to pull up E or F and figure out how to go forward. So that adaptability is very important. I would say data analysis is very important. And I think that someone who's successful in my field has the ability to kind of nerd out and be technical in whatever their specific skill set is, but then also can have a conversation in a way that it's can be adjusted based on the audience. And so you can be very knowledgeable about a specific area, but if you can't communicate that to someone in layman's terms, it makes it very difficult to be successful, because then you have to have somebody else in the room who can then translate. Not to say that there aren't very technical people that aren't successful in this industry, mm-hmm. but I think the most successful have the knowledge to either to know enough to be dangerous, or can put themselves in a position to get the right technical folks in the room and still be able to engage in conversation and then explain it in a way, kind of recap it for everyone, that it's like, okay, well, it doesn't matter how much you know about this industry or this specific sector of the project. Like, I feel like I'm leaving here knowing more than what I came in knowing. And my eyes aren't glossed over. I think those are probably the keys to success, I would say, is having the adaptability, and then the technical skills, depending on what specific part of economic development you're playing in, and then the communication that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Okay. So going off of that, with all of those moving parts and things that you do, what do you like most about your work?
That most days it doesn't feel like I should be paid to do what I'm doing. It's very satisfying in a way that, and I'll be frank and say that it's frustrating at times, because you can put your best foot forward and you're not good enough, which is tough. And it's not you, the individual, that's not good enough. It's your community, you feel like. But the reality is, there's just, like I talked about earlier, you have to remember that you get down to a certain point, and all things being equal, like on paper, you're the same as another community. And so knowing that it's not personal, is can be tough at times, but it's so rewarding knowing that the work that we do is going to allow people to have better and more job opportunities than what they had if we weren't doing this work. And so, and that's translates to people moving out of poverty, that transitions to, people being able to move up in whatever their goals are, financially or personally, professionally. And so there's a lot of benefits that you get to see from the work that we do, that's like, oh, okay, well, that's just a jobs announcement. But we have manufacturing employees that come from 12 counties to work in Conway. And so it has a wide-reaching impact on our community and region. And so that's probably the biggest thing that I would say I enjoy the most about my job.
Yeah.
So and I've got great coworkers, and it's just fun. Like, the work that we do is fun. It can be frustrating at times, dealing with a number of the moving parts, but it's just, it's so rewarding knowing that you can have a good time, and you can work through what is difficult on whatever day specific to a project. But then at the end, you're going to know that people are going to be better off because of the work that you're doing.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, I know you mentioned like the frustrating, like moving part sometimes, but is there another part that you like least about your work?
I would say that I would make it a two-part answer. I would say, one, there's a lot that goes on that people don't know about. So I've had multiple instances where I've been explained what is happening with something, and I know it to be false, but I'm not at liberty to discuss the truth specific to a potentially a non-disclosure agreement. And so it's like, oh yeah, okay, well, I didn't know that. I appreciate you telling me. And so that can be challenging at times, being on the inside, but not being able to shout it from the hillside like you want to. But then also, as I talked about earlier, with businesses making a decision as far as expanding or relocating, is that's the flip side of this. Because if a community is entertaining potentially relocating to our community, that means they're likely leaving another community. And so that's hard to know that that's something that happens. But unfortunately, businesses have to make the best decision possible for them to continue to be successful, because they can't just think about employees in one community. They have to think about employees in multiple communities and ensuring that they're adapting and remaining competitive. And so that's another hard part, is just knowing that you will experience closures at some point and other communities will. But you have to just do what you can to get at, whenever that happens, figuring out how to ensure that your community remains competitive and you can market that talented workforce that you have, and show that although this is a terrible situation and people are losing jobs, we can use that to retrain them and get them integrated in some other area, completely different area or a similarly related area in the community, so that they can continue to provide for their family.
Yeah. So with that, do you guys do any kind of, like, say a company leaves from another community and they really relocate to Conway, do you guys do any kind of work with maybe that other community they left from? Or is that more so like you're focusing on, like, developing them for the best fit here in Conway, or what does that look like?
It depends on the project. So formerly DXC Technology, formerly HP, in 2008, when we attracted them here, our leadership at the time was on the road going to multiple communities saying, hey, you're a key employee, and we realize that you're going to have to potentially uproot. If you want to stay with this company, you're going to have to uproot your family or you, and relocate to Conway, because you're a valued member of the team, but this is where the location is going to be. And so we do take our show on the road, if you will, and help that company transition key employees, to the site. But then we'll also work to grow our own and work with our educational partners to figure out how to take people that are either in the workplace already or will soon be, and get the right skills that company requires depending on the project.
Okay. I love hearing about all this, like, behind the scenes work that, like, I feel like I, like, didn't even realize was there, that when it came to, like, growing companies and companies just, like, either relocating or, like, starting up. So yeah. Thank you for that. Okay. Going off what you like least, challenges, you've spoken about a couple. Have you faced any challenges in your work? And then maybe, since you've spoken about some, how have you handled those challenges that came up?
I would say probably the biggest challenge is just there's always more to learn. And that's kind of a cop-out answer, but sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And unfortunately you need to know it in that instance. And so trying to figure out how to kind of learn on the fly, is very important. And for instance, like we've had projects in the past that require mitigating floodway or flood zones. And so that involves either purchasing credits from a land bank or figuring out another floodway or wetlands, if you will, that you can replace what you're going to remove, in essence. And so there's some things that you just like, wait, I never knew that that was a thing. Wait, you can buy credits from this wetland bank, and then that's going to allow us to be able to do this project. There's legislation like COVID last year. I'll use that as a because that's relevant. We completely shifted to where we were communicating. We're reaching out to all of our members and communicating what available resources they were, or what resources were available to them. And so it's like, okay, well, we have to learn as much as we can to where we can share it with the members, and then they can decide if that's something that they are qualified to pursue or not. It's just, you have to be able to learn on the fly to help your members be in the best position possible to keep their doors open, and not just temporarily, but for as long term as possible. I love what I do. So it's hard to say the challenges. I mean, personalities, it's like that with anything. Legislation, there's things that you just, again, are out of your control, and you just have to figure out how to work within them, to make sure that Conway continues to be competitive, and our people are marketed in a way that our existing employers are comfortable with their skills and know that they can succeed here. And then potential employers know the same thing.
Yeah. So you mentioned some of the challenges that COVID-19 affected onto your career. So what do you recommend to students who are about to join the workforce when it comes to facing challenges, whether it's pandemic related, which I know, you know, there's some people that say, you know, we're getting out of it, and, you know, there are things that are still in place though. And then any other hot topic issues that have surfaced over the last year to year and a half, what would your recommendation be to them?
Be persistent, and be willing to accept an opportunity that you may not have thought about before. And I don't mean settle, but just if this pandemic has showed us anything, it's that you never know what situation might change your life for better or for worse. And so you have to be willing to look at every situation in a way that you may not have before. And so I would say that there's plenty of employment opportunities. And so that's not something that I think that people should be fearful of. And that will continue to be the case. It's just use the pandemic not as an opportunity to either make an excuse for why something can't happen or explain away whatever situation, but just use it as an opportunity to grow, because we've been pulled and stretched and pushed in ways that we didn't think that was possible, but we persevered. I know that our organization had to go through some growing pains and think differently about how we navigate. And it's the same for everywhere. Like, okay, well, you had companies that were having to go virtual who likely never would have had to go virtual, and thinking differently about remote work and all of the things that are related to that, and what potential benefits to quality of life. So I would say that I'm curious, and this is unrelated to advice to students, but I would say I'm curious to see what businesses do who were forced to either go completely remote or partially remote because of the pandemic, and how they take some of that to adjust their policies and procedures moving forward. Because there's some people like me, like I wouldn't want to work a remote job. Like, I want to be in the office around people, but I could be successful at my job from anywhere. But I need that interaction in a way that is just I can, when we were closed, I was like, okay, well, I'm still doing my work and we're still making, but then like, I just get my energy off of other people. Mm-hmm. But then there's some people who are like, okay, I can sit me, myself and I, and I can do my work and I can be just as productive. And so figuring out what individual employees situations are and how they can be as productive as possible is going to be interesting moving forward for companies. Because I think there's some that'll will go completely remote, but I think that gives a great opportunity to places like Arkansas and specifically Conway, as you see that opportunity for remote workers to choose where they want to live and work in a way that we've never seen before. And so you might have people that are making salaries as if they were in Washington, D.C. or California that are living in Conway that has constantly one of the lowest cost of livings. And so from a business perspective and a student perspective, I think that we just have to think different, or soon to be graduate perspective, I should say, think differently in a way that we've never had to before.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. How would you say your job affects your general lifestyle?
I would say that it makes me more aware and more passionate about what goes on in Conway, certainly, and then in the region in general. But then it can also make me defensive at times. But then I have to be aware enough to know that I can't just, even if someone is completely wrong, I can't just like berate them. Like I can't just like, oh, you don't know, because that's not in the best interest of our community, because I'm in somewhat of a public facing role. And so I don't know. I'm very fortunate to have this as my job. And I don't think about it as a job, because it very early on, when I started at the Chamber and Conway Development Corporation, it was like, hey, look, you, there's an expectation that if you're in the grocery store and someone has a question, like you've got to respond in a way that, even if you're in a hurry, like you have to respond in a way that is similar to what an elected official would, and engage them and make sure they feel valued, even if it's Sunday afternoon. And so that's different. But it's important, because relationships matter in every situation, but especially in the work that we do. And you have to take care of people and meet them where they are and all those things. And so, I don't know. It's a positive way. I don't know. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. So going off of the general lifestyle, and then what does a typical day look like for you? I know we've talked about all the moving parts.
Yeah.
But is there a typical day for you? What are you typically doing?
I would say there's not a typical day. So like this morning, for instance, I started my day driving and looking at landscaping, talking through it for development that we have, and ensuring that the landscaping company was aware of kind of what our expectations were. It could be engaging with one of our elected officials. It could be having my head buried in an Excel spreadsheet. There's not a typical day, but I would say the majority of my time is spent looking at real estate and what's available. So like whenever we get off this call, for instance, I'm going to look at a few sites based on two requests that we have on what's available in Conway, and sharing those with the individuals that asked for it. And so that, I would say the majority of my time is either spent collecting information, packaging it, and sharing it with the stakeholder, related to a site that they're interested in Conway. Okay. There's not a typical day, but there's a way that I spend the majority of my time,
yeah,
which is researching, workforce related information and real estate information and sharing that with a prospect or their consultant.
Okay. What steps would you recommend to a student to take to prepare to enter your field of work?
I would say, first and foremost, apply for the fellowship program, the CED fellowship program through the Center for Community Economic Development on campus, because it's a great opportunity to get to see different employment opportunities within community economic development. So you might go to a utility partner, you might go to a local chamber, you might go to a, you might go and visit with the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. And so you might go to see a foundation that's working on behalf of a more rural community to provide housing. That's probably the where I would start. And then from there, I would reach out to me or others in their respective community. So if someone is here if someone is going home for the summer, mm-hmm. that isn't from Conway, reach out to the local Chamber of Commerce and see if they can intern there, even if it's unpaid. And if it's a few hours a week, that can just kind of give you some experience that you, it will be beneficial regardless, but especially if this is a career path that they're at least considering. And then from there, just kind of learn as much as you can broadly about business and about the community economic development field, because there's specialists that focus on finance and taxes. There's specialists that focus on real estate. There's more generalists like me who kind of have a knowledge about multiple areas. There's no one path, but I think that getting experience and making connections within the industry is going to be the best first step.
Yeah. What are three key takeaways you would give to students about to graduate from college?
Three key takeaways. Never be too good for any one job. What I mean by that is, so whenever I was working for the contractor, I was making, I think, $23, $21 or $23 an hour, something like that. Something like that. But because of that, I was like, I mean, I can do anything. So some days that meant sweeping the job site trailer. That meant cleaning the toilets. That meant processing pay requests. That meant going on site and digging a post hole for a mailbox where we're going to put our information for the environmental folks. Like, no matter where you get, you shouldn't be to the point that you think that you've arrived and you're too good for any one thing, and treat people as such. So it doesn't matter if it's the CEO or the janitor. You see that meme shared oftentimes online, but just treat people with the respect that they deserve, not based on the title that they have, but the person that they are. Don't be afraid to get outside of the box. And so, for instance, I'm an insurance major. I mean, that's not necessarily something that you would think would be related to community economic development. And so don't feel limited by the degree field that you chose. Obviously, there's some technical skills that are required for specific roles, but if there's an employment opportunity that you're interested in, figure out how to take what you already know and add a few skills to put yourself in the best position possible to succeed, because we're not limited by the piece of paper that we graduate with. It's something that we were interested in and we were passionate about, but you aren't confined to that specific path. And then a third one, stay connected with people. And that means your classmates. That means the offices that had an impact on you on campus, the organizations, because that's, at least for me, I wouldn't be where I'm at without the organizations and the individuals that supported me along my journey and continue to do so. And so just know that those relationships matter. Not because you shouldn't maintain them because you're going to get something out of them. You should maintain them because that's the right thing to do. But you just never know who's going to connect you with the next person or opportunity, that is going to put you in the best position possible for long term. I'll give an example of this. Vice President Ronnie Williams, I interacted with him a lot whenever I was an undergraduate. And it was good to see a Black male in the leadership team on campus. And fortunately, as having been part of student government, I got to interact with him regularly. Well, fast forward to my role now, he's on our board of directors for the Conway Development Corporation. And so he's my boss's boss, which makes him my boss. And so you just never know in a state with a little more than 3 million people, most people are connected in a way that it just kind of freaks you out sometimes. You're like, wait, how do you know that person? You're not even from there. And so just never take relationships for granted, because people are what allow us, to get the joy and satisfaction of doing the work that we do, but they also enable us to take that next step. So value people, don't be afraid to think out broader than what your specific degree program was, and never be too good for any job, because you have to be prepared to do other duties as assigned, and do it, even if you're complaining a little bit, but do it with a smile on your face and do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah, absolutely. So going off of, I know you said you had worked a little bit with the VP, Ronnie Williams, and obviously I work in career services. So right now, Ronnie Williams is my boss, which sadly he's retiring. Yep. Did you ever utilize the resources career services offers while attending UCA? This could be attending a career fair, having your resume reviewed, doing a mock interview, any of those activities that we offer?
Absolutely not. I never interviewed when I was a freshman, doing mock interviews, or went to any career fairs, or was able to get my foot in the door with the contracting company that I was working with or ended up working with through that office. There's no benefit that I got from career services, except for everything that I just said is completely false. There was like a freshman program that I interviewed, did a few mock interviews with when I started at UCA, and then had a great relationship with Kathy Claiborne, mm-hmm. and then Tiffany Johnson. Mm-hmm. And so that is very much an office that I was able to benefit from and put me on a path to success. And so people should 100% attend career fairs dressed in the way that they're supposed to, and do that early as you can, because even if you're a freshman or sophomore, you can get an internship opportunity when you're attending the career fair, and you just get practice in a way that you don't. Like interviewing in the mirror is great. Recording yourself is great. You can benefit from that, but having a office on campus that can critique your resume and that can put you in a real world situation with interviewing. Like for instance, I was doing mock interviews, and I think there was like three companies, I don't think they were mock interviews, but they were with the companies, and so it might've been for internships or something. Mm-hmm. But I was lazy on my resume. Not lazy, maybe I just wasn't observant as I should have been, and accidentally left the wrong company name and the wrong position on the resume, and then shared that with the company. And so that was feedback that if I wouldn't have gone through the career services process, I likely would have never known. But the recruiter shared that with the office, and so that feedback was shared with me later, and I was like, okay, I need to be mindful of that moving forward. So yeah, I definitely took advantage of the career services opportunities that were available, and it put me on a good trajectory.
Awesome.
If you want to edit out my sarcasm at the beginning of that response, you're welcome to. But that's my personality.
No, thank you. I enjoyed it. I was like, oh man, he didn't. I was like, wait a minute. I thought that he had. If you could do it all over again, would you choose the same path for yourself? And if not, what would you change?
I think I'm too early in that process to be able to say that, but at this point, absolutely not. Like I wouldn't change anything. I was able to benefit from student organizations on campus. I was able to make lasting relationships with friends faculty and staff members, and I continue to be able to lean on those as I need advice in my post collegiate career. And I love the work that we do. And like I said earlier, I don't think that I should be able to be paid, for the work that I do because it's so meaningful. But obviously, I have bills that I need to pay and things that I like to do. And so I'm appreciative of my paycheck. But no, I wouldn't change anything. Now ask me that again in 10 or 15 years and I might be like, oh, I've made a terrible decision. I should have done something completely different. But fortunately, we can pivot at any point, and so you're never truly stuck in any one situation. But now I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah. All right.
Actually, I would change one thing. Okay. I would be more either artistic or musical in some regard because I have no skills in either of those areas. And so fortunately, my personality and work ethic carry me far enough to where hopefully that doesn't matter.
You can still learn those.
So. That's true. That's true.
Where can students or other listeners go to reach out to you if they have questions or would like to connect with you further?
The best way would be via email. And I can give that to you now. It's Corey, Corey, at conwayarkansas.org, both city and state spelled out. And I'll emphasize .org because there's a Corey at the city of Conway who has the same email address. And so sometimes we get emails for each other if they do .gov instead of .org. And then LinkedIn as well. Just if they'll need to send a note explaining why they're trying to connect, because I don't accept every connection because I got to a point where I was like, wait, I don't know this person. And so I did a complete review of all of my connections. And so I'm very selective about the ones that I accept.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on and share with us and me a little bit more about economic development and the Conway Chamber of Commerce and the Conway Corporation.
Conway Development Corporation. That one's tough because there's Conway Corporation, which is your utility provider, but then there's Conway mm-hmm. Development Corporation, which is the economic development organization. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that I enjoyed hearing a little bit more about the process and behind the scenes that goes on with the Conway Chamber of Commerce. With that, I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you for listening to Noteworthy Networks. Support for this podcast comes from the University of Central Arkansas's Department of Career Services. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Noteworthy Networks and Career Services at UCA Career on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We hope you'll listen in for the next guest and more career advice to come.